Several people today received the koan mu. Some of you were doing muji last night and other nights, voicing mu in the zendo when you hadn't even received the koan. But it is your karma that you to receive this mu today. A word of caution is to just do mu from your tanden, just mu. Anything that you try to do with it is extra. Trying to figure it out is extra. Mu is not exotic. It's now and here. It's your reality. It transcends duality, this mu. This mu is the revolution of truth. Truth. When voicing mu in the zendo, even if you are doing mu, you do not have to voice it. Say it out loud in the zendo. And if you have a practice other than mu, please do not do mu, but instead quietly continue your practice. The reason for the brief period of voicing mu in the zendo is that bringing together body and mind in this obvious way, it's very easy to become mu. In Hoshinji in the old days, after the last round of zazen, many, many people would go to the mountains and you could hear the mountains ringing with the voice of mu. It's fine for you to go out and do mu outside, but many people are here. This is a small area and people live nearby, so please do not do it where you will be heard and where you can disturb others. Also, anyone who needs a translated Doksan, please do not hesitate to ask. Tomorrow afternoon, you can ask me, I'll be here. We are well into our sesshin. Our sesshin is winding down. Impermanence is swift. Change waits for no one. If you are earnest, if you are able to stick with your practice, now. Your practice springs forth naturally. Is that what's happening for you now? Set out to accomplish it, and you accomplish it. Don't set out to accomplish it, and you won't accomplish it. If you do not accomplish something, it is because you have not set out to do so. Lay it down, just lay it all down. How? By simply doing your practice as you have been shown. Straighten the posture so that your center falls naturally to the tanden. Your energy is full, whole in your tanden. Place the mind, the spirit in your tanden. The eye of life is always shining brilliantly in your tanden. Just do your practice from the tanden. That's all you are asked to do here. You will not be deceived or misled by tanden practice. You yourself well know how easily you deceive yourself with the things that you cook up in your head. Right now, your mind, discriminating mind, can be so sure about something. And then, bam, in no time it's changed. You've been beguiled, deluded, deceived again. The mind, the head, does play tricks on you. What you thought would make you happy, content, is not satisfying you at all. You're still seeking. Bothersome thoughts and feelings that you thought you had rooted out through reason pop right back up to disturb you. So that's why, from the beginning, you were cautioned not to rely on that which is not reliable. Relying on your head, well, it's you've got your boss and the servant confused. So, of course, you are going to be misled. As long as you're depending upon the creations of your head, first off, an idea of who you are, what happens in an emergency? By emergency, I mean when the time comes for it all to be taken away. Everything that you have believed in so heartily, that which you felt to be so all-important, that which you assume to be, is suddenly grabbed out from under you. What about that? If only you will come to the realization that nothing fundamentally, essentially, nothing is ever lost. If only you will come around to awakening, to the fact that there is nothing to be lost. Just imagine it. When you do finally understand that there is nothing to hold on to, nothing which can be taken from you, there will be no more struggle. But as long as you're only imagining it, there is struggle. All the creations of your clever mind, the discriminating intellect, are most definitely transient, empty. Yes. So, you must die completely, lay it all down, give your life, be unsparing, be dead earnest about this. Lay it down. Your practice is just this one-way road. Lay it down, you say. There is nothing. What could there be to lay down? I'll tell you. Whatever you hold, lay it down. Whatever you attach to, let it go. That's all there is to it. And the only way to do this is by sticking to this one doing. It's easy to think that you've laid it down when you have not. I, me, mine. As long as you hold on to an idea of self, you must lay it down. That's because this notion, me, mine, which you now assume to be most dear, is the seed of your distress, the reason for your suffering. There is only for you to let go and live the genuine. The word genuine, too, is a description, but a description. There is no possibility of holding anything. There is nothing to be held. experience profoundly the true self and experience truth. Experience truth. Experience upon experience, doing, doing, doing truth. That's letting go, letting go, letting go. Hear the teaching of Buddha. Hear with your heart, with all your heart. Because there is not a shred of falsehood here. Receive in all sincerity. The person practicing Zen must start out with a mind which is pure, gently obedient, humble. But you find it hard to be humble. Humility does not come easy to you at all. Some people practicing here would be actually genuinely surprised if I pointed out to them, your ignorance, your arrogance. Genuinely surprised. Who, me? Who, me? Indeed. Aren't you a little glob of self-cherishing? This little ripple, this little sensation that you believe yourself to be, will end. It will be grabbed away, it will disappear. We are already into the sixth day of our sesshin. Sitting all these days with all this zazen under your belt, it wouldn't be unusual at all to see you practicing like a pure newborn baby. Have you become a baby yet? The baby is wholehearted. The baby is single-minded in whatever she or whatever he does. Whatever he or she does, it's done entirely, heart and soul. The fifth of the month is Bodhidharma Day, the great Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma. What does he have to tell us here, now? To bear the unbearable. To just do our practice, just do this doing. To bear the difficult, the unbearable. Practice what cannot be practiced. You were told to work from the tanden, to place the eye of life in the tanden. Place the eye of life in the tanden. Now, looking at it from the usual standpoint, the usual way that we go about our life, the usual way we conduct ourselves, we cannot really do this practice so easily, can we? Place the eye of life in your tanden. We quickly become restless. We fly off this way and that. We try to grasp whatever we can grasp. We give in to distractions. But you are told not to give in to your restlessness. Not to entertain distractions. Not to look off. To just stick with this one thing. Center yourself in the deep bottom of your belly. Steady, settled as a mountain. Not moving a hair's breadth. Do this one doing. Dum. this, the eye of this great, great, big, big life is wide open, all-seeing. The light of life pervades the universe. Place this light in your tanden, in your belly. I ask you to do this because this way you will not be deluded. The eye of life, the light of life, shining clear and bright in your tanden. Do this one doing. Continue. Bear the unbearable. It is not easy to stay with it, but stay with it you must. Just doing, patient with the difficult. Great, steady, deep patience. Bear the unbearable. Do not get discouraged. Don't give in to weakness. Getting discouraged is simply giving in to your ideas. And you don't have to do that. Whether or not you can practice what cannot be practiced, whether or not you can bear the unbearable, depends solely on your own determination. Have you decided to do just this one doing? To carry through with just this one doing deep in your belly? Die completely, and you will see how it is to be calm, perfectly at ease. The genuine is wide open, clear. The genuine is the epitome of kindness. The genuine is kindness, bright, warmth. Please see it for yourself. Experience it with this one doing. Experience this warmth, this kindness, this brightness. And no matter how you are regarded or spoken ill of, you won't be daunted, because the genuine is dauntless. Everything is just fine. No matter what befalls you, you will be able to go on with a smile. That's if you come to rely on the genuine which is without change, the genuine which can never be harmed. Your home is brilliance which never dims, never darkens. You are the master. And you will be able to go on polishing, refining infinitely. Is the genuine to be polished, refined? Sure it is. Shakyamuni Buddha had a student named Anaritsu. One day, Anaritsu fell asleep during Shakyamuni's sermon, and he was awakened. At that time, he made a vow. He determined never, ever again would he fall asleep, because this was a terrible, terrible waste to miss chance to hear the Buddha speak. His vow was so strong that not only did he not sleep during the sermons, he was never to close his eyes again. He went blind. These eyes of flesh went blind. But he was able to receive all of Shakyamuni's teaching with the eye of life. The true eye was open. He had given his all, dropped attachment to the self. And he became one of Shakyamuni Buddha's top disciples. One day when Anaritsu was was sewing his okesa, he found himself unable to thread the needle. No matter how he tried, he couldn't get the thread through the eye of the needle. And then suddenly he heard some footsteps. Fortunately, someone was coming his way. So he called out to them, "I'm sorry to bother you, but could you please thread this needle for me?" The voice which answered kindly, "Yes, I'll be glad to do it for you," was the voice of the Buddha himself. Anaritsu was mortified that he had called out to the Buddha to ask him to thread his needle. But at that time an important question arose. He asked the Buddha this, "You have attained Buddhahood. You are the embodiment of complete merit and perfect virtue. Isn't it true that you need no longer perform acts of virtue, acts which accumulate merit?" He was thinking that it would be better for Shakyamuni to let one of his disciples do the good works, accumulate the merit. To this question, Shakyamuni answered, "Accumulating virtue, never tiring of accumulating virtue, is called Buddha. Never growing weary of performing good works, of helping others, is called Buddha. Just practicing, doing this one truth. All things are held up, devoted to this one breath. This one breath is all things. There is nothing else. This one truth, it fills the eyes, it fills the ears. All of life is dedicating itself, giving itself wholly, nurturing, receiving, giving. This one truth. And it is nowhere else. Don't look off." This restless and weak being that you perceive yourself to be does not, in truth, exist. Bring it to me if you can. Bring me something that you can call me, I, me. Something fixed, something permanent, something solid. You might say, "Well, there's this body here." Really? Isn't this in part the okayu from this morning? You cannot put that okayu aside and come here and say, "This is me." If you look into it very, very closely, you find that you can put nothing aside and say, "This is me." Nothing can be put aside. Thanks to everything, interdependent with all things. But so very few of the 6 billion people on this earth have recognized this truth. Almost everyone is looking off from truth Aren't you captivated by illusion? Aren't you attached to something which will vanish? Can you say of yourself that you are not grasping a false notion? Can you say that you are not self-centered? Who do you think you are? This. Even if you feel that you're each doing this instant is fresh and immediate, just this, you cannot afford to be careless. While you believe yourself to be now, here, fresh, and while you say to me, this, just this, with the slightest inattention, you're grasping. The slightest carelessness, and you're depending upon the undependable. Even after enlightenment, newly accumulating virtue, never wearying, this is called Buddha. Polishing. Accumulating virtue, doing good acts, is being in accord with original life. Doing wholly this one doing, you are in accord with original life. Chitande. Thoroughly exhausting all in this one doing. Always new, newly, always alive. How could you grow weary of it? How could this be tiring? Never wearying, this we call Buddha. Your inherent nature is absolute freedom, big freedom. Absolute action, big action, alive, vital, brilliant. Your inherent nature is peace and joy, bliss. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way. You will never be weary. Tears will fall. Tears of gratitude for this wonder which is your life. There will be no more burdens, no more heavy baggage, no more stuff. This brilliance, this beauty is all given. Life as it is bright, lovely. And there was never any need to hold on. You are free to be wholly now, here. You are free to just do this one doing. This, the one and only all-pervading truth. So please carry through with your practice. Just do your practice and nothing else. Don't get caught up by this and that. Just. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be anxious about. Nothing. the one and only all-pervading truth. So please carry through with your practice. Just do your practice and nothing else. Don't get caught up by this and that. Just. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to be anxious about, nothing to worry about. If you're doing mu, just do this one mu. If you're counting the breath, this one count is all the universe. Stay in your tanden and follow the breath. Only breathe, only breathe. Don't create complications. If you're doing shikantaza, just sit. Just. This great bottomless being is so clear. Right now, clearly revealed. You have only to be it, doing, just this doing. Together with all beings, we attain the Buddha way.